Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to the Long-Term Care RD podcast presented by the membership website clinicalnutritioncentral.com. I'm Michelle, your host of this podcast, and it has been a while. Lots has changed over at Long-Term Care RD, and I took a break from the podcast simply because life didn't coincide with the amount of time that this took. So happy to be back and hoping to have more regular episodes. So if you've been listening over the past few years, though, thank you, and I'm happy to be back talking with you guys. If you're in the trenches of working in long-term care, skilled nursing facility, even if you're just a dietitian that's working in an acute care setting and you are totally overwhelmed, today's episode is for you. So whether you're brand new, maybe you're fresh out of internship and you're walking into your first facility feeling like, what did I get myself into? I have no idea what my actual job is. Or even if you've been doing this for years, but your days still feel so chaotic and overwhelming with never-ending paperwork, today's episode is going to be packed with a realistic survival guide on running your day smarter, not harder. So I'm going to cover a little bit about mindset shifts, a flexible daily routine that actually works, and time-saving hacks that I have personally used in my practice. And I can tell you that I genuinely most days go into work not stressed out. I don't feel overwhelmed by paperwork. Sure, there's some days where I feel like I have more to catch up on than time, but that's not the majority of my days anymore. I honestly feel like long-term care and just in general working with the senior population in clinical is not that stressful. But it is because I have over a decade of experience and I have found routines that have worked for me, have improved my practice, and have improved my patient care more importantly. So if that's you, just listen because I'm here to support you, and that's what my whole mission has been with the website. Now, I have not really talked about this on the podcast, so I just want to give a quick overview that we have a membership website now. I talked about this years ago when I started Long-Term Care RD. I actually started Long-Term Care RD, I believe, I want to say in 2021. So it's hard to believe that it's been almost 5 years. And there's been real ebbs and flows to how the website has evolved. When I first started the website, it was strictly for long-term care dietitians to feel less alone. And I haven't strayed from that mission, but there's certainly been changes to the website. It was featuring some senior nutrition articles, more general health information. And if you followed along and you've been a part of the newsletter for all these years, you've probably noticed the shifts in the website, shifts not just in the overall look and appearance of it, because it has changed a couple times, but just like the target demographic of who the website's been for. And just over the last, I would say probably year, I've realized that I want to get back to that mission, get back to the mission of supporting dietitians that provide nutrition care for older adults to seniors. That's who my target demographic is. So if you're listening to this and you work with older adults, senior nutrition, in whatever type of facility that is, long-term care, skilled nursing facility, rehab, whatever it is, that's who this is for. It's, I understand, a very niche audience that listens to this, that goes to the website, but I started this because there just wasn't enough resources out there for us when I started in practice almost 10 years ago. There are some large ones out there that do provide, I would say, good resources, but I've purchased just about every resource you can think about over the last 10 years, and none of them were specific enough for real-world application. So just for example, you could tell me that, okay, somebody has a wound. They should be getting 1.2 grams per kilogram of body weight of protein a day. It's like, okay, that's a great general guideline, but how do I implement that? What types of protein do they need? What if they have chronic kidney disease? How do I balance not compromising their kidneys too much, but also healing up the wound? And so that's what I started this for, was to give you those practical real-world implications and show you, okay, this is how you get to the answer using your clinical judgment. I'm not going to tell you the exact way that works because it's not going to work for every patient. So when we started the membership website, this has been a dream of mine for years, to create a community online where dietitians working with this population could find the answers that they needed. And that's what it's become. It has become a huge hub. We have almost over 60 resources between webinars, cheat sheets, evidence summaries, handouts for families, charting templates, sample nutrition care plans, mini ebooks. If you're an annual member, you can have the full ebooks that are on the long-term care RD website. So that's the Prepping for State Survey website, ebook, sorry, the Long-Term Care Dietitian's Reference Guide, the End-of-Life ebook. So there's so many resources. And not just that, we have a private Facebook community. We have a texting Slack channel where you can ask me questions anytime and I will always respond to you. You can email me anytime and I will respond if you have a clinical question. So there's so much in this membership website and it continues to grow. And I'm so excited to see it growing bigger. So that's what it's for. So if you haven't heard of our membership website, it's hosted on a different URL. I know it's a little confusing, but it just has to do with traffic, with how fast we can get the website going, speed-wise, that kind of stuff, so it doesn't slow you guys down when you're using it. So that is available at clinicalnutritioncentral.com. It is perfect for you if you are listening to this podcast. It's only $19.95 a month, so I made it super inexpensive to start. You can commit just to 1 month, you can cancel anytime, no questions asked, you won't be billed again, or you can do the annual membership, which is $199.95 or $99, I can't remember what exactly, down to the penny. And so with that one, you obviously get 2 months for free, and also you only get access to those big ebooks, so the Prepping for State Survey and Long-Term Care Dietitian's Reference Guide, with the annual membership. And I haven't raised prices in 5 years, yet I've added to the library, and so I always think that pricing should reflect not only making it accessible to people, but also the value that people get in the membership. So we will be raising our prices at the end of February. I'm going to send that out in email just to give you guys a heads up. So if you join the membership now, whether you do monthly or you do annually, you will get the price that it's at now instead of the increased price, which will come starting March 1st. So please join the community. I would be so happy to see you there, and I would love to chat with you. I love getting to know the members, so I'm available if you have any questions, and I will leave all this information in the podcast description so you can check the links in there. So on to today's episode. That was a much longer introduction than I had planned, but it's been so long since I've done an episode, I wanted to make sure that I covered those things. And I'll do an episode what's inside the membership, but it's also available on the website as well. But I'll talk more about that in a separate podcast episode. So the first thing we're going to talk about, in order for you not to feel totally burned out, is your mindset shift. So in long-term care, it's a unique environment, or working in a rehab facility or skilled nursing home, it's so different than working in, let's say, a hospital. If you're fresh out of internship, you're used to having a group around you. If you're coming from a hospital setting, an outpatient setting, you're used to having, let's say, at least a few dietitians that you chat with during the day, you see in the morning, you might bounce some nutrition ideas off of them. And then all of a sudden, you come into a long-term care facility and you're the only one. And it can be very overwhelming and sometimes very isolating for dietitians in this environment, because nurses have fellow nurses, healthcare aides have healthcare aides, therapeutic rec, they have their fellow therapeutic rec workers, but you feel like you're totally alone because you're kind of working with nutrition and food services department, but you're not really fully on their team, and maybe you're only there a couple days a week, so you don't know kind of the dynamics of what's going on in the facility all the time. And that can feel super isolating. You've got a huge caseload. You've got residents with dementia, end of life, families, surveys, MDS deadlines. So I want you to know, though, that we've all been there before. So for new RDs, It is completely normal to feel overwhelmed in that first, I would say, 3 to 6 months, honestly. And that, unfortunately, is a lot of the time when dietitians are like, you know what, I'm out, I'm going to start looking for another job somewhere else. You won't know every regulation or weird facility policy overnight, so give yourself some grace. So you have to have a mindset shift when you're walking into this type of work. It's different, and I will fully admit, it can be very overwhelming when you get started. But I always tell new dietitians, if you can make it past that first 6 month mark and put in place some strategies that I have, you will be fine and you will get to a place where you love this job. I have worked in so many different areas in dietetics over my career, but the one that I will always say is the most rewarding and best work-life balance is long-term care. Hands down, no questions asked. For veterans, so for those of us that have been working for a long time in nutrition, we've seen it evolve, you feel like sometimes you're in a constant reactive mode. So you're chasing, let's say, weights at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're at the end of the month and you're trying to get your weight policy review done. You're trying to look at the significant weight losses. You've just been told there's a pressure injury that needs your attention right away. You've got a tube feed. You're constantly in this fight or flight mode. So we've all been there before, and you have to have compassion, not just for yourself, for the residents, and you also have to set boundaries for yourself, because burnout can hit hard if you're not managing your time wisely and also watching what you take on versus what you don't take on. So one thing that changed for me was when I really started to put boundaries in place. And I think that this is super important, and it helped my mindset shift that I will get done in a day what I have time for. Anything that I don't have time for is just going to have to wait till the next day that I'm in. And that was a significant mindset shift for me, because all of a sudden I decided, you know what? Sure, maybe there will be some days where I stay a bit later because I didn't quite get everything done, but that's not going to be a regular pattern for me. If I'm getting paid for 8 to 4, I love my residents, I love my job, I love this facility, and I want to make sure that I'm making a difference. But I also need to realize that this is a job. And yes, I am working in this resident's home, and I will do my best job during the hours that I'm here. But at the same time, I can only control so many things. And what I can control is the amount of work I can get done between the hours of 8 and 4, taking my break in between. And if I feel that I am giving my best every day and getting as much work done as I can, and I still can't get all of it done in that 8 hours, I need to do one of two things. I need to either go to management and talk to them about the fact that I don't have enough hours to get everything done, or I just need to accept the fact that, you know what, this paperwork is going to have to wait till the next time I'm here. And I know some people will say, well, what about being audited? What about not having enough paperwork done in time? That is a factor, but I will also defend myself and the amount of work that I can get done. So I think the right mindset can really help you build a daily framework that helps prevent that chaotic mindset of, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough time. So next, you need to set your ideal daily routine. And working in long-term care, none of your days are going to look the same, so you need to be flexible. There is no perfect day that exists, and there is no structure that's going to work for everybody universally. So I'll just go through what I typically do and what my daily routine looks like. So if I get at a facility between 8, 8:30, whatever time you start, I'll typically go through my binder. So I have a set binder that I carry with me every single place. And maybe it's a laptop for you. For me, I personally like carrying my paperwork around. But if you want to have it on a computer, that's totally fine. So I have everything built into my calendar, whether it's my MDS dates that are due, pressure injury follow-ups, any nutrition intervention that needs to be followed up. I make sure when I say I'm going to follow up on something, I write it into my calendar immediately. And it's something as simple as writing the resident's name. And then I can just go in and check my notes as to why I'm going to see that resident. So between 8 and 8:30, I'd say the first half hour of my day, I'm planning out by priority what needs to get done that day. So that might look like following up on high-risk residents. So that would be significant weight losses. That would be pressure injuries that I said I was going to follow up on. Even if it's just in that week, I try to prioritize high risk at the beginning of my week versus the end because I don't want to run out of time for those high priority ones. I'm also going to check that I have any MDS or nutrition care plans that I need to get done that week. And I'm going to check my referrals, see if there's high priority ones that I need to get done. I typically like to stack my week in the aspect of doing the high priority things at the beginning and then spacing it out as the week goes along. So doing a little bit more lower urgency throughout the week, but I want to make sure that I'm getting the things done that I need to get done. So those really high priority tasks. So once I have my list of what I need to get done, I triage them. So if I have any new admissions, those are almost tied for priority with the high risk. So the high risk patients, I should specify. I will typically do my new admissions first. So I will triage. So I'll write an order of who I'm going to see and then just maybe a one sentence brief about why I'm seeing them, just so I kind of have it fresh in my mind as to why I'm going to that patient's room, checking their chart, whatever it may be. So I'll do new admissions, and then I will do my high-risk patients. So like I said, wounds, significant weight losses, active wounds. I'll look if there's any tube feeding or tweaks that I need to make. Typically not. I would say tube feeds are honestly relatively stable if you've got them in order. I'll do referrals next. So if there's high-priority referrals, I'll put that on my list. Less urgent referrals I'll schedule later in the week to get to. And then MDS and nutrition care plans, I'll make sure that that is in my list. And I typically like to do a couple a day. So if I'm going in to do a nutrition care plan, I like to do them, just bang them out all at once. I don't like to do a couple a day. If I have to, I will. But I typically like to do those in one sitting. So that is where we have a spreadsheet, actually. It is our patient tracker. I'll put it in the link in the show notes, but I put the MDS care plans and I make sure that I have every piece of information in my spreadsheet tracker for that resident. So when I go in and do an MDS nutrition care plan, it honestly, and I'm not exaggerating when I say, might take me couple minutes per resident because I'm not flipping through the chart when I'm sitting there doing these. I have everything there. I will do a podcast episode on how to use that spreadsheet properly, but that is inside of our membership. And I will tell you, it is one of the most useful tools because it will save you so much time on MDS, nutrition care plans, that type of thing. So by the time I finish all of this up, some mornings I'll have a morning meeting. I might go to that, not every day. And then I'm out the door. I bring all the stuff with me that I need to the unit, so I'm not running back and forth to my office. So I'll just start going through all my care plans, all my residents, referrals that I need to get done. And then typically around noon, obviously you're taking your lunch break. I like to completely set aside work, so I don't do any work during my lunch break unless absolutely necessary. I think it's, like I said, with mindset shifts, it's really important for you to take that pause during the day. And it can be something silly. Like, I like to listen to a podcast episode that has absolutely nothing to do with nutrition. So I'll listen to sometimes finance podcasts. I know that doesn't interest everybody, but I really like listening to them. Business podcasts. I might even just scroll Instagram and watch a bunch of goofy videos and send them to my husband. So it's really important for you to take that break. And if I'm having lunch with people, I don't want to talk about the residents. I love them to pieces. I love my job. But I want to hear about, hey, how was your weekend? What's the latest that, you know, we talk about? Stuff like that. So I think it's a good mindset shift just to set aside work for that half hour, hour, whatever you have. So after lunch, I do typically, on each unit, I kind of batch my paperwork and I go back and forth on which method works best. Sometimes I think sitting down and doing all your charting at once is a great way to do it. Sometimes I think charting in the moment is really important. So don't quote me on this. I do change my mind on what's the best way, but currently what's working for me is just batching my charting. And so if I have chart notes to catch up on, I will quickly scribble those out. I also have inside the membership ways that you can save time on charting, because I have heard fairly consistently from dietitians that charting is the thing that bogs them down and takes the most amount of time. And so I have my top 16 tips on how to save time with charting. So honestly, charting is not the thing in my job that bogs me down or takes the most time. So I'll link that in the show notes just so you can kind of take a look and see what you can do to save time charting. So I do batch chart right now, like I said, and my chart notes are super brief, but I make sure that I have all the relevant information in my chart notes there. So that usually takes me a couple hours. That almost takes up my whole afternoon, because I will go from unit to unit making sure that I've touched on everything. I will usually touch base with nurses on each unit too, if there's residents that I've flagged that, hey, I need a wait done on this resident, or getting their opinion on something, whether it's like a new nutrition intervention that I think might work for a resident. I like to touch base with them and just see, do you guys have any questions, any concerns about any residents? It's something so simple, but just asking them, hey, are there any residents that you think I should keep an eye on? Do you guys have any new issues this week that you guys want me to follow up on? Sometimes they don't always get to writing a referral, but maybe it's something that's on the top of their head that they're, when you're asking them, they're all of a sudden like, oh yeah, can you see Mrs. Smith sometime this week? She's had X, Y, and Z. When they tell me that, I will always ask them, can you write a quick chart note just saying that you asked me to do that, so that I'm not going in and writing a chart note, let's say a couple days later when I'm seeing them, and there's no chain of communication saying why I'm seeing that resident. So I just like to make sure that I touch base with them at the end of the day. And then typically after I've wrapped up everything, I'll go back to my office, I'll check off all the things that I got done that day, and I usually reserve about 30 minutes at the end of the day just to be in my office by myself. Some dietitians, they'll sit in the dining room where it's nice and quiet, because typically around 3 o'clock, let's say if you're off around 4, if you're sitting in there at 3 o'clock, there's not much going on in there. So I just like to cross off everything that I've gotten done, and then I write a loose list for what I need to do the next day. So when I come in the next morning, I see like, oh yeah, I didn't get that done, and I cover all that stuff. So it pays to organize your day at the beginning and end of your day so you know what you hope to get done versus what you actually get done. You're recapping at the end of the day. I find that this takes the stress off my shoulders, that I make note of the things I didn't get done. I got done a great deal today, but it's just allowing myself to look and say, okay, I will try to work on this tomorrow. But it's just saying to myself, maybe I didn't get everything done today. And that's totally okay, because not everybody gets everything done today. So that's point number two. Point number three is time-saving hacks that actually work. Like I said, we do have something inside the membership with like a full list of 16 tips how to save time. I also have sample chart notes in there, but charting is a really important part of your job, obviously, because when you get audited, they want to see your chart notes. They want to see that you have clearly laid out everything that you've done, everything you're going to do. So that's really important. So I would say charting in, for me right now, batch charting, I get it all done in one go. So that actually saves me time, because then I'm not sitting there, you know, going back and forth, running around, finding different charts. I will get done one unit at a time, and I will batch chart all of the people that I saw on that unit in that time. That I find has saved me time. Also, writing out my list and prioritizing a week's worth of stuff that I have to get done. So I will input everything into my calendar for the week, and then I will prioritize. High priority things go at the beginning of the week, lower urgency things will go closer to the end of the week. And when I say lower urgency, I mean, let's say somebody wants you to take food preferences. Hey, maybe I won't get time for that, but maybe I will ask, you know, the dietary manager or supervisor if they can go visit these residents. And that kind of falls into teamwork as well. Teamwork is so important in long-term care. And if you can try to delegate some of the tasks that take a lot of time that you don't necessarily have time for, but you're willing to pick up maybe later on, such as audits, meal observations, things like that. That can save you time, but it also requires teamwork. So if you're going to ask somebody to help you out, then you should probably help them out in the future. And sometimes that might look like, if dietary is short-staffed, maybe it looks like helping to hand out meals or something like that. But also in return, you're asking them to help you out with some things too. So teamwork is really important, and I really recommend build rapport with your team. You're going to work so closely with nutrition and food services. I personally have worked super closely with therapeutic recreation over the years. They are so involved in mealtimes. They are such a great assistance to you. So make sure that you are chatting with these people. Build relationships with them because teamwork is so essential. Avoiding burnout is setting boundaries. So for me, this looks like my email is off at 5 p.m. I know it's extreme, but I have said that unless there is an absolute emergency, if anything can wait till the next day, just contact me the next day when I'm at work. So it's setting boundaries that it's not just, you know, I'm done work at 4 p.m. and somebody is coming to me at 4 p.m. with something that's not super urgent. It does happen for sure. And I allow space for that to happen some days. But if there is a team member that is repeatedly coming to you at the end of the day, I like to set that boundary in place and just have a super nice conversation with them saying, you know what, I'm here from 8 to 4. Those are my regular hours. Next time, do you think you could catch me sometime during the day instead of right at the end of the day? Unless it's something, let's say, that came up at 3:45 and they really need to chat with you about it, that's completely fine. I do also have an automatic email that I turn on at the end of the day that says, you know, Michelle is out of the office for the day. She can be reached between the hours of 8 to 4 p.m. if this is urgent, and I list who they can contact if it's urgent. And I think that's really important because I've set boundaries, but I'm also saving myself time that it's not these small things that keep me there at the end of the day that really don't need to. Also, there's things like joining our membership website where you can get instant access to answers that you have throughout the day from our Slack channel, which is texting, goes directly to me. I'm the one who answers those. Those things can save you time that you're not searching on endless Google strings. Hey, how do I treat this? And not finding the answers, because typically the clinical nutrition questions that you have are not going to be found in Google. Now, point number 4 to survive is take your quick wins and encouragement. So if you're a new dietitian starting out, start small. So if you want to celebrate a quick win, maybe it's just that you got all your nutrition assessments done that week. Great job. And just start small, really. And if you found that you had a really great day, let's say a small win is, you know what, you got to sit down with Mrs. Smith and chat with her for 10 to 15 minutes. You have no idea how much you made that resident's day. You may be the only person that is sitting down and chatting with her. I vividly remember, this was probably 6 years ago now, maybe longer. I had a resident and he never had any family that came to visit him. His wife had passed away quite a while ago. He didn't have any children. He had one friend that came every few months to visit, but that was about it. He was a little bit, he struggled greatly with speaking. He had aphasia. And so if you had to talk with him, you really had to take the time to sit down and try to understand each and every word. And he was cognitively there, but verbally, he couldn't always make himself clear. So you can imagine the frustration that this man felt. And I remember his name. I remember his face. He was a gem of a resident, but for privacy, I won't share. But I remember one day I was walking by his room and he flagged me down. And so I went into his room and, you know, greeted him and said, "How can I help you?" He wanted to show me a picture of his wife. And I probably sat there for 30 minutes chatting about his amazing wife with him. And obviously the conversation took a lot longer because I was trying to understand and piece words together that he was trying to tell me. I hope, and I do feel like that made all the difference to him, that I sat down. We didn't talk about one piece of nutrition, not one thing. And he had nutrition concerns, but all he wanted to talk about and show me pictures were of his wife. And it was, that moment has stuck with me all these years later, and I will probably remember this resident forever. Now, did I get any work done in that 30 minutes? No. But after that day, that gentleman and I had such a good working relationship. He would come to me with nutrition concerns, and it was great because he had been a little bit hard to reach before that, just because I hadn't established a level of trust with him that he could trust me that I was going to help him. After that day, I was able to provide much better care because I understood him better. And he trusted me from that day forward. And we had a great working relationship for the rest of my time there. That was a win for me. And it encouraged me so much that I realized that, you know what, sometimes I do have to take 15 to 30 minutes out of my day just to sit and talk with a resident. And so I purposely go out of my way to set time aside, because as a dietitian, yeah, we are very busy, but at the same time, you never know when you're going to be the person that makes a difference to that resident. I always tell people that come to long-term care, it is the most rewarding career in your life if you will make it, because you are being entrusted with the care of somebody's loved one for the last stages of their life. And what greater honor can you have in a career than that? So even though you may feel like you're not making a difference, I want you to know that you are. Food is rated among the top four values for quality of life among long-term care residents. It is so high up there. So if you can provide the best nutrition care possible, trust me, it makes a difference. So that's all we have for today's episode. I know that this was a really long one, but I feel like this topic is so needed to talk about, because not enough people talk about the burnout that we feel in long-term care, but also what to do about it. So just to recap, I'll go backwards. Number four, celebrate your quick wins and take the encouragement where you can. Number three, establish some time-saving hacks that will actually save you time. Number two, set a daily routine but allow for some flexibility for things that come up. And number one, have a mindset shift. You're not alone. There are so many of us out here, and I have established a community, and I celebrate what we do. So that's all for today. Don't forget, join us in our membership group at clinicalnutritioncentral.com. I will link everything in the show notes. You can also visit our website at longtermcarerd.com. It has countless free resources, free articles. There's literally a free resources section that can help walk you through a lot of issues that we go through. If you want to get in touch with me, all the contact information is in the podcast description. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.